This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Paul Elizondo will have been the county commissioner for Bexar County Precinct 2 for 32 years at the end of this term. And he's asking voters to give him one more. That will make 10 consecutive terms for that one elected office, which is unprecedented for Bexar County. Later, we're going to be hearing from the two challengers to Elizondo in the Democratic primary, Ketha Rodriguez and Mario Bravo. That will be live, and you can call in with your questions, 210-614-8980. Elizondo said he wasn't able to join us live today, but we were able to pre-record an interview with him, and I asked him about his decision to run for re-election.
I'm running again because there are several projects that I want to make sure are completed. To establish a women and children's hospital and a heart vascular institute. To redevelop San Pedro Creek. The restoration of the Alameda Theater as a cultural center. And also the Westside Lerma's Nightclub, which is an Esperanza Center project, which will involve a senior center, a digital library, and health services. Also to work on development of a multimodal transportation system, which includes, you know, rail to and from the medical center from downtown, to make sure that we raise a minimum wage at Bexar County to $15 per hour. We're almost there. And to redistrict the county, which will come up during this term, in a manner that maintains the voice of the constituency that I represent. Reform the jail magistration system and also to improve the jail diversion system that we have, reentry programs, and establishment of the Center for Healthcare Services downtown, a service center for adult behavioral treatment. Those are basically the projects that I've started or have been working on with Judge Wolf in particular, and he and I are a good team together with the rest of the court. I convinced him that we Bexar County needed him to run one more term, and he turned around and told me that he would run if I would run, so I'm running.
And you said this would probably be your last term. Is that a certainty?
I don't like to say that. I mean, I'll be, you know, at the end of this term, I'm 82 right now, and I'll be 86 or going on 87. So I think, you know, the numbers speak for themselves. I don't intend to be, I'm fit right now and strong, but I don't, you know, watching what happens to people at that age, I doubt whether I'll be a Churchill or one of those guys.
Well, I mean, you could have decided now's the time to enjoy what you have. You've accumulated certainly enough accomplishments here in Bexar County, but you decided there was more to be done.
Yeah, well, you know, those are projects that we started, and I want to make sure that knowing better than anybody how to do those things with all this experience and not having to be on OJT and learning on the job and all that. This is not, I'm ready, of the three candidates that are there, we don't have one up there that's like one of our people who have paid their dues in the legislature or on city council that are prepared at this time to take you know, the helm. These projects are so important and incumbent upon us to make sure they're completed. Besides that, they're next to my heart, these projects, and I've initiated most of them and been working on them for years. I want to, you know, not make any mistakes or not start from scratch in getting them done. I'm ready. I'm already hitting the ground running. I'm already running. Public service is my life. I mean, I have more to give, and I want to give it as well as I can.
So before you became a commissioner for Precinct 2, you were a representative for the state of Texas in the House, and also you had worked in education.
18 years in education, teaching in the schools, teaching the children in this precinct, and what I represented in the legislature was this precinct. I know it thoroughly. I know the people, and they know me. And they've returned me to office over and over again. I hope that I can earn one more term.
Just to clarify, when you said you wanted to raise the minimum wage in Bexar County, that is for Bexar County employees to $15 an hour, right?
Yeah, because it's very important to the people to have what is called a livable wage. And we want to set the example we have so far, and we'll continue.
So you have two opponents in this Democratic primary, and they are saying that your experience is not that important, that they could come in and do the same job.
Frankly, if I thought they were, and I felt comfortable that Judge Wolf would handle this workload himself alone, then I might consider, you know, if it was somebody like say, Shirley Gonzalez at the city. There's several people like that, younger people that are really capable of stepping in, like Leticia Vanderpute or Justin Rodriguez, who is in the legislature. There's of our legislative delegation, all of them are capable of stepping in. Most of them, let me put it that way. If the ones that know Precinct 2 would be, but not for these two candidates. One of them has absolutely no experience in government, has only worked in campaigns, and spent all his life in school and out of town, has no knowledge of the precinct. The other one was away serving the nation, as I have in the Marine Corps, but just has been in town, was chosen to run a small department. The Veterans Outreach Department is a very small part of the county. To say that she has familiarity with the county is not correct. I have done the budgets for the last 12 years or so. I have all of those, every committee that there is, I've served on, and so housing, finance, any of the intricacies of county government, plus a relationship with the other elected officials that I've developed and garnered over the years in order to make things happen. There's a tremendous amount of elected officials, and also the procurement process. I serve on the procurement board, which does a lot of good in the county, and they have no knowledge of how effective that process is with small businesses and the outreach that we have. Otherwise, I wouldn't say the things they're saying.
Paul Elizondo is defending the Precinct 2 Bexar County Commission seat that he's occupied for over 30 years. There are two challengers, Mario Bravo and Ketha Rodriguez. We're going to be hearing from them live about their campaigns, and we're going to open up the phone lines. You can call in 210-614-8980. The Democratic primary for Bexar County Precinct 2 on The Source. Stay tuned.
In the dispute over border security, are immigrants criminals? Are Border Patrol agents the bad guys? Writer Francisco Cantú's memoir, The Line Becomes a River, addresses this quandary. He's a former Border Patrol agent.
When I joined the Border Patrol, I remember making this argument to my mom that I would be able to help people.
Cantú joins us on the next Fronteras. Download Fronteras wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're hearing from the candidates running for the Democratic nomination for Commissioner's Court Precinct 2. We just heard from incumbent Paul Elizondo. Now let's turn our attention to the challengers, Mario Bravo and Ketha Rodriguez. What questions do you have for the candidates? Our phone lines are open. Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. Now, the questions have to be open-ended, something that both candidates can answer. Also, callers, if you're on air and you start making a speech or making accusations, we're going to have to cut you off. Let's not do that. Again, the number is 210-614-8980. 8980. You can email us at thesource@tpr.org, and you can tweet at us at @tprsource. Also, we're on Facebook Live with video, and we're taking questions from Facebook from the comments there, so do that if you want. We flipped a coin earlier to see who goes first, and the candidate Mario Bravo is going to go first, and then Kita Rodriguez will follow up, and then we'll alternate back and forth with questions throughout the hour. And at the end of the hour, we'll have 1 minute roundup, wrap up your final pitch to the voters. So Mario Bravo, go ahead and go first and explain to the listeners who you are.
Hi, thank you very much for having us, David, and happy Valentine's Day to all of our listeners out there. I grew up here in San Antonio. I went to all public schools here, and then I attended the University of Texas at Austin, where I got my history degree. And while I was there, I met a civil rights attorney who was a political activist, and he taught me about activism. So right out of college, I started working on political campaigns for Democrats and in support of progressive causes all across Texas, all across the United States. And I did that for years, but then I got to the point where I wanted to focus less on politics and campaigns and more on policy solutions for our community. So I went back to school, and I got my master's degree from the Lyndon B. Johnson School of Public Affairs. And now I'm running for, and then actually after leaving that, after getting my degree there, I started working for a nonprofit agency. And I've been working for them for almost 3 years now, and I work to try to improve our air quality here in San Antonio and to reduce our impact on climate change. Now I'm running for county commissioner, and the number one issue I'm running on is improving the health of our community. You know, the commissioners oversee the university health system. They appoint the board, they set the budget, and we have really good county hospitals, but we still have poor health in our community. And a big challenge to that is our economic inequality. We know that there are people in low-income zip codes who, the first time they ever see a doctor, it might be an ambulance ride to the emergency room. By the time they get there, they're very sick. That's the most expensive health care, and we're all paying for that through our county property taxes. So if we're going to pay for it, why don't we do it the smart way? Why don't we go into low-income zip codes and help people have more opportunities to meet their basic needs, do more aggressive preventative health care education, and help lift up our community, get our community healthier, and save on the tax burden at the county hospital at the same time.
All right, Mario Bravo. Now on to Kete Rodriguez, the other candidate running for Precinct 2 Commissioner's Court.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having us here today, and thank you for all the listeners that are out there. I'm Kete Rodriguez, and I'm running for County Commissioner Precinct 2. I am born and raised here in San Antonio. I was born in the poorest zip code in the city, actually. After graduation, I joined the United States Marine Corps and spent 20 years there. I enlisted as a private, and after 10 years, I was selected for a commissioning program. I was able to obtain my degree in government and politics from the University of Maryland, and then went on to serve the next 10 years as an officer of Marines and retiring after 20 years of service. I've been serving in the last 4 years as the County Veterans Service Officer, leading that department and making transformative change within that department, just using technology and innovative ideas. I'm running really for one basic reason, and that's to ensure that every single person in Bexar County has the opportunity to achieve success, prosperity, and a great quality of life. And I know that sounds really broad, but if you consider that to some people that means just having access to affordable housing, to some people it means just having a community that's safe where their kids can walk to school, having economic development in communities that are severely distressed, having access to affordable healthcare, all of those basic needs. And I'm running because I believe that we need to really take a step back and prioritize what we are doing. As we've been out walking and talking to people, knocking on doors and going to community meetings, what we've learned is a lot of people don't know who their county commissioner is. A lot of people have no idea what the county does, and that's really something that's concerning. And what we're hearing is what we need is active and engaged leadership. At the end of the day, it's really about a mindset. It's about being a leader who is representative of the people. And that's one of the reasons that I'm running.
All right. Now let's go to questions. And the phone lines are open, 210-614-8980. We have the two challengers for Precinct 2 Commissioner's Court. We heard from Paul Elizondo, the incumbent, earlier. And the phone lines are open. And Daniela has called in. And Daniela, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, my question is, if elected, what would be your first priority?
All right, thank you for that question, Daniela. And so it is now Kete Rodriguez's opportunity to go first.
Well, like I talked about, one of the most important things to do is to really focus on meeting people's basic needs. We have a tendency in government to focus on projects. And projects are good, and projects can have some good outcomes. But we need to take a step back and really prioritize how we spend our taxpayer dollars. There isn't really a comprehensive plan. And so we'll take a step back and create a comprehensive plan that really really outlines what our priorities are. On day one, what I plan to do is open up a community office. Precinct 2 has never had a community office, and I will also set a schedule for community town halls. We've never once had a town hall in our in Precinct 2. In many, many years, as long as I can remember, I'm a native of Precinct 2. Because again, it's about that changing that mindset that we are representative of the people, that it's up to the people to tell us what it is that is most important to them. And Precinct 2 and all of Bexar County really being as large as it is, the needs of each neighborhood can vary. In the near west side, for example, you know, the needs are really basic infrastructure and economic development. In areas out by 1604 and Bandera, transportation is one of the most significant problems. So it's really outlining that, but establishing a community precinct office to make ourselves accessible to people so that you know that we're here to serve you. At the end of the day, that's what we're there to do. I would most likely obviously have to have a interim office in the short term as we plan for a longer term solution to that and creating our schedule to get out into the community and talking to the people.
All right. And now we follow up with Mario Bravo, the other candidate.
So my number one priority is improving the health of the community. Just look at diabetes, for example. We have the highest rate of diabetes in the state. And we are so late to diagnose patients and give them care that we have the highest rate in the nation of people who have to have amputations because of their diabetes. And that's entirely preventable. And I know the commissioner said he's done some projects, and I'm glad he recognizes that that this is an issue. But my focus is going to be to continue on providing good health care for people who get sick. But also, we need to go more into the neighborhoods more and help lift people up, help them have more opportunities to meet their basic needs so they can be healthy, so they don't end up in the hospitals. You know, I want people to know I'm serious about this. Typically, when somebody runs for office, they might ask somebody from a powerful political family to be their campaign treasurer and in order to convey to the community that they have strong political backing. Instead, I went and I asked a professor from UT Health San Antonio who focuses on community health to be my treasurer. And she's advising me along with many other doctors from throughout the community, including the former state epidemiologist. They're all advising me on these issues. I've gone before the Bexar County Medical Society and taken my plan to make our community healthier. They have vetted my plan and gave me feedback, and so I'm going to continue to work on that. It's really important that we get our health under control here in the community.
All right, and our next question I'm going to ask you, and you'll go first, Mario Bravo. Talk about the decision-making process that you went through when you decided to run for office. Was there one particular thing that really just sold you on it and triggered you, and you said, I am going to make the jump and I'm going to run?
You know, I've always been interested in running for office and serving the community. I never knew for sure when would be the right time. But I did have an experience when I was out campaigning for Councilwoman Ana Sandoval, and I was talking to voters, knocking on doors, and somebody told me about how they used to work at City Hall, and one day they got a phone call, and the commissioner called, and somebody had possibly been drunk driving. They hit a brick mailbox on the commissioner's property and knocked it over, and the commissioner called, and he demanded that somebody from City Hall come over there and fix his mailbox because I guess he had different elected officials who answered to him over there. And so this staff person and another, they both had to go over to Commissioner Elizondo's house, and they told me that they were picking up the bricks and somebody was insisting that they fix the mailbox, and the other person said, this isn't our job. You know, this we don't work for the commissioner, and by the way, this is private property, and so this we shouldn't be doing this. And the other person said, you don't understand. This is Commissioner Elizondo. We need to fix this mailbox now. And at that moment, I just told myself, you know, the commissioner's forgotten who serves who. And I felt like we needed better representation at the commissioner's court. And I started looking for candidates at the time. I didn't think it had to be me. I looked around, and I didn't find somebody at the time. And so I decided that I was going to stand up, and I was going to offer myself to serve.
All right, so I'm going to ask you a couple of questions about that story. So that's an accusation against Commissioner Paolo Lozano. It's hearsay, or did you establish that that actually happened?
This is a story that was told to me by someone who used to work at City Hall.
And you ever did you ask him about it?
I did not ask him.
So right now it's hearsay?
Sure.
Okay. All right. So people will keep that in mind. All right. So now let's go to Ketha Rodriguez with your tell us your story about what prompted you to say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to jump in.
All right. Quite honestly, service is really central to who I am. I was born and raised here in San Antonio in Precinct 2 to two parents who have been involved in the community for decades, as long as I can remember. So I, you know, as a child, I was, you know, given speeches at to seniors at community centers. I was block walking and phone banking and, you know, trying to find leaders that I thought would do the best for the community that I lived in. You know, I mentioned that I grew up in the poorest zip code in the community, and being one of five girls that grew up from elementary school at J.T. Brackenridge Elementary, going on to Tafoya and to Lanier High School, I was the only one of the four of us that graduated before becoming a mom or succumbing to some other, tragedy. One of them is no longer with us. She was a victim of domestic violence. One of them turned to drugs. The other two, I believe, you know, eventually went on to obtain their GED, but again, not without facing some significant challenges. I mentioned that I went to go serve in the Marine Corps for 20 years. And upon my return as the County Veteran Service Officer, I saw my community and many of the areas in Precinct 2 exactly the same way as I found them, as they were when I left. And that was really disappointing to me. That obviously had a very profound impact, because we still have the highest rates of poverty in some areas after decades of the same leadership. We still have the highest rates of domestic violence, highest rates of crime, those types of things. So being someone who was born and raised here, this is very personal to me. And being someone who has served my country, service is very central to who I am. I decided that it was time for new leadership and a different mindset.
Okay, another caller question, and this is from Rosanna. Rosanna, welcome to The Source. You're on the air, and your question will first be going to Ketha Rodriguez, Democratic candidate for Bexar County Precinct 2.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I think the candidates touched on this a little bit, and Ms. Rodriguez especially, about her background. My question was, what about your background and history gives you special insight or knowledge into the problems of the community? Any other detail or maybe plans with that insight or special knowledge that you want to take to the community?
All right. Thank you, Rosanna, for that question. And so, Ms. Rodriguez.
So, yeah, and I can expand a little bit. You know, like I said, I'm born and raised here, very familiar, very deep-rooted in the community, and because of my parents' work as well. But some of the things that I really think that we can do, and I have experience working within county government. As a matter of fact, before my department was moved to directly below the commissioner's court, I was department belonged to the Department of Community Resources, and that particular department provides services that are meant to address some of the things that I've talked about. What I think that we can do better is to form stronger partnerships with the city, to create better coalitions with our state legislators. I mean, this is a really important time, given all the stuff that's been going on at the state legislature, you know, the lack of funding for education. All of those things are barriers to achieving success. And so I want us to focus on these areas, you know, infrastructure, housing, transportation. Those types of things are barriers for people to achieve prosperity. And the insight that I have from having grown up in the community, still knowing people who live in the community, and more importantly, the motivation and the ability to build coalitions and to be innovative and to have the will and desire to go out into the different communities and different neighborhoods and talk to those people to make sure that we are approaching this from a good perspective, but also taking the talent that we have in county government. We have county staff that are very well versed in this. Let's give them more resources. Let's allow them to really maximize their potential and their skill sets. Give them enough resources so that we can attack these problems.
All right, and now Mario Bravo.
So I used to serve on the Alamo Area Council of Governments Air Improvement Resources Advisory Committee. I served as a volunteer on that committee up until Governor Greg Abbott line item vetoed all of our air quality funding for the region. But before that committee was dissolved after the veto, I learned that we didn't have an air quality monitor far enough over on the west side of San Antonio to know what our air quality is like. And we're not meeting federal minimum air quality standards. And so at that time, what I did is I wrote every city council member on the west side. I wrote the mayor. I went to Citizens to be Heard. And I advocated to get an air quality monitor added because we had had all of them turned off. CPS Energy stepped up. They decided to turn them back on, but we needed to add an extra one, and we have. And we just have preliminary data, but we know that the air quality is not good on the west side from that preliminary data. I've also worked with San Anto Cultural Arts, which is in zip code 78207, the poorest zip code in the county, which is in the district that precinct 2 that I'm running in right now. And I won a grant, a $10,000 grant, in order to help them put on a summer school. And this was really important because this summer school is where kids would learn about art, and then I would go and teach them about environmental issues, and then they could create art based on what they learned from my environmental messages that I taught them. But it was important not just because of that, but it was important because most of these kids in 78207 during the summer, they don't have a place to go. Their parents can't afford childcare. And so they'd be out running around on the streets. They might not have meals on some of those days during the day. But San Anto Cultural Arts gave them a place to go, and I was able to learn a lot of the issues that community is facing right there. In addition to that, I went and met with many other organizations because I was contacted by a team of social scientists from across the country, and they asked me if they could. They said they wanted to study what moves Latinos towards engagement on environmental issues here locally. And so we put together, I met with a bunch of leaders of the Latino community, and I asked them what the issues they were facing, and they told me that health is a big issue and that they're not getting support from the county.
Okay. So I'm going to remind our listeners that this is The Source on Texas Public Radio, and we're having an issues forum for the candidates running for the Democratic nomination for Bexar County Precinct 2. Earlier, we heard in a pre-recorded interview with Paul Elizondo, the incumbent. He's held that office for over 30 years, and now we have a live opportunity with the two candidates who are challenging him, Mario Bravo and Keita Rodriguez. There's also two Republicans who are running for that nomination, and the winner of this nomination will face the Republican nominee as well. And so let me ask you, Mario Bravo, since it's your turn for an answer now on another question, what about Paul Elizondo's experience? He's been there for 30 years, and do you think that his experience doesn't matter to voters? How do you counter his level of experience?
Absolutely, experience matters. I think that you know, it's important to have experience. When you have experience, you can get things done faster, and you can be more knowledgeable about the process. There's no question about that. However, once you've been there too long, and when you're in an environment in which there are no campaign contribution limits, which I am advocating for, I'm also advocating for term limits, but when you've been there too long, he's been there for 9 terms, he's asking for a 10th. Your city council members can only serve 4 terms. And your city council member can't take more than a $500 campaign contribution. Your commissioners can take unlimited. If you've been there too long in a situation where you can take unlimited campaign contributions, you begin to form a closer relationship with the donors and lose touch with the community. And I think that's what we've started to see now that he's been there for 34 years.
Okay. And now get to Rodriguez.
I agree with Mario. Experience does matter. But there's a difference between, having experience. Yes, you've served there for a long time, and I've said it throughout the campaign. I sincerely appreciate Commissioner Elizondo's service to our community. You know, anybody that goes into public service, we're appreciative of that, and I can definitely recognize that. But I think that, once you have become disconnected from the community, and that's what we're hearing out as we're out, like I said, knocking door to door and talking to neighborhood associations, is that they don't see the commissioner. Nobody knows what he does other than what you see in the paper. Of course, the big ticket projects like the San Pedro Creek and the Alameda Theater and some of the things that he mentioned. I think that you can have, if you are a good leader, though, to say that he's irreplaceable, or that if he's no longer in office, then all of these projects are going to stop, is really pretty, you know, quite frankly, surprising. If you're a good leader, you develop the people that you lead. You develop the people that are working for you. And I know that we have a lot of great county staff that have been working on this project that, if he's done his job correctly, would be able to carry forward. I mean, he can't be there forever. No one can be there forever. And there will always be projects. I know that the commissioner has said that, you know, he wants to be able to come back and, you know, to cut the ribbon at the San Pedro Creek and some of these other projects, and that's fantastic. No one would, at least I wouldn't deny him that. You know, I'd not want the type of person to take credit where, you know, for something that I didn't do. I give credit where credit is due. I'd welcome him to come back and to cut the ribbon and to do, you know, to take the credit and to really enjoy the success of whatever it is that he's done. But when you were falling asleep at Commissioner's Court, when you're missing half of the roll calls when you're expected to be there, that says something. I mean, even a family member, if there's a family member that I think just really isn't no longer up to the task, then it's my job to tell them, hey, love what you've done, but it's time.
Okay, here's a question from Twitter, and this is from Pete. What would you do to reduce the tax burden? And so, Ketha Rodriguez, can you answer that?
So, yeah, I know that is such a significant issue for so many people. I think that we really need to take a look at creative ways of doing that. I've heard the commissioner say that, you know, the county has lowered the tax rate. Well, yes, technically that's true. However, your tax bill keeps going up every year, and it's because of appraisals. The appraisals continue to rise on property values, and so that's what's making our tax bill increase. I recently listened to our chief appraiser, Michael Amesquita, talk about the problems with the tax appraisals as they are applied to commercial properties and residential properties. There's such a huge disparity. The lack of not being able to disclose purchase prices is a problem. And I'm not saying that I'm, you know, completely want to dismantle that, but it's something that we definitely need to look at, because what's happening is some of these bigger companies are being able to fight the appraisals. They're dragging these things, you know, out. And at the end of the day, the tax burden is really shifting to the residential taxpayer, because that person doesn't have the time or the money or the resources to go and fight those rising property tax values. Another thing that I think we can do is to teach people how to go before the board to fight against the appraisal itself. That's something we need to educate our public, again, with active and engaged leadership, going out to the public and holding classes, letting them know that you actually can,
Challenge.
Yes, I'm sorry. Thank you. You can challenge the appraisal itself. And so by doing that, then you have a better shot at keeping your appraised value lower, which will lower your tax rate, your tax burden.
Okay. And now, Mario Bravo, your answer to the question from Pete on Twitter, what would you do to reduce the tax burden?
Well, yeah, definitely the first thing you need to do is stop increasing the tax burden, which is what's happening. You know, if you look at what's being paid this year over the last year, total taxes being paid have gone up by $19 million in the county. Now, $10 million of that is due to new development, but $9 million of it is not. And that's because of the appraisal values that have gone up so much. So they are taking in more money. So there are multiple ways. One, improving the health of the community through preventative health care. That's going to reduce the tax burden at the county hospital, which we all pay for. Another one is not keeping poor people in jail who don't need to be there. You know, we pay $59 a day to keep somebody in jail. And if somebody's charged with a crime, they're presumed innocent until found guilty. Now, if somebody's a threat to society, sure, let's remove them from society and keep them in there. But some people, you know, there's a risk assessment tool that's being used in some counties. And what they look at is this person a flight risk? Is this person a violent offender? Is this person likely to commit another crime? And if they rate low on all three, then you let them out and you say, all right, we're going to send you a letter and we'll let you know when you need to come to trial. Because we have people who can't afford bail and they're kept in there for long periods of time. You could be in there for 8 months easily or longer. If you're in there for 8 months at $59 a day because you couldn't afford $1,000 bail, you know, the county taxpayers pay $14,000 to keep you in jail because you couldn't afford $1,000 to get out. And the thing is that keeping that person in jail, that person who is living paycheck to paycheck, that's contributing to generational poverty. Because while they're in jail, they don't show up for work, and so they lose their job. They don't pay rent, so they get evicted. If they don't have family who can go pick up their possessions when they get evicted, they lose all of their possessions. If they were in their car driving on the road, their car is going to be towed. There's going to be towage storage fees for $100 a day times 8 months. You know, they owe $24,000 on their car that might only be worth $5,000. They lost their car. Who's supporting their kids while they're in there? And so now there are kids who don't have a parent supervisor there in their home. And so it's contributing to generational poverty, and it's wasting taxpayer dollars.
All right. So now let's go to a caller. And the caller question is from Richard M. Richard M., welcome to The Source. You're on the air, and your question first goes to Mario Bravo.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. Last year, statistics released by the U.S. Census Bureau indicated that poverty had actually increased in our area in Bexar County, and now one in five residents here lives at or below the poverty line. What would each of you do to address multi-generational poverty in San Antonio?
All right, thank you for that question. And so, Mario Bravo.
Well, I just answered it partially on that reform as far as using the risk assessment tool. And there's a district judge in Nueces County, down in Corpus Christi, who's been using this tool for less than a year and has taken the jail inmate population from 101% capacity to 85% capacity in less than a year. She saved the community hundreds of thousands of dollars. We could save millions here with our larger jail, but we'd also not be contributing to generational poverty, and we need to stop that. There's so many programs that we can do as well. You know, access to nutritious food. We need to be more supportive of programs that are helping serve as distribution sites for the food bank, helping organizations that are on the ground, organizations like the Madonna Center, like West End Hope in Action, like the House of Neighborly Services, who operate in zip codes like 78207, and help senior citizens sign up for services that they didn't know, different resources that they weren't aware were available to them. Helping people sign up for healthcare who are eligible to sign up for the Affordable Care Act. Making sure that you provide more public transportation so that people can get to other jobs and they're not limited to jobs that are just in their neighborhood. There's so much that we can do that we could do more on right now.
Okay, and Getha Rodriguez, what would you do to try to end the cycle of multi-generational poverty in the district and in Bexar County as a whole?
You know, in any company, when the company is not producing profit, what they do is they take a step back and take a look, try to identify the root causes of those problems. And then they focus intensely on fixing that problem and then tweak it as they go. I see this as kind of the same thing. One, we don't really talk about it that much. We don't talk about poverty. And the caller's statistics is right. Poverty has gone down nationally, but in San Antonio, it has gone up. And I think part of it is the mindset. And I think I've heard the commissioner say there's always going to be poor people. We're always going to have the have and the have-nots. That's not really an acceptable way to do it. Other cities in the country have actually reduced poverty by using innovative ideas. My first grade teacher, Shelley Potter, she is the president of the San Antonio Alliance, has talked about a pilot program in certain cities, including Austin, called community schools. The community schools basically makes the school in a very distressed community as kind of the hub for services. And through that particular community school, you know, all of the services are accessible to the people that need them the most. And with that, focusing on education and training programs that really allow people to acquire the skills to be able to get better jobs and get themselves out of poverty. Concentrated poverty, significant problem. I think we need to move away from some of these areas where we have concentrated poverty and try to put people into mixed income housing. That has had a very successful impact in many cities across the country. But again, it's going back and first identifying that this is in fact a problem, and it's not just a problem for the impoverished community. It impacts everyone. We don't have a qualified workforce because we have people that don't have the education and skills necessary to meet the demand.
Back to the phones, and this is Bonnie. And Bonnie, you're on the air, and your question will be going to Getha Rodriguez.
Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to ask about, in general, countywide, the distribution of acute care hospitals and full-service hospitals. There's areas of the city where there's, you know, if you need a hospital, after the buses shut down, you're in trouble if you don't have a car. There's areas where hospitals are being built, like new hospitals are opening on top of each other. It seems very uneven distribution of services.
Okay, Bonnie, thank you for that question. And Gethard Rodriguez?
Thank you. Thank you for that question, Bonnie. That's definitely an issue. Again, we have historically underserved communities in the county, and these historically underserved communities have been like this for decades. And it goes right back to what I've been talking about, is that taking a comprehensive approach. The county created a health collaborative, which has done some phenomenal work in identifying gaps in services and trying to find solutions, bringing together community partners to address those issues in gaps in services. But, you know, we definitely can do more. We have to go back and take a look at what you just said. You just said that in some areas, if there's no bus line that's going there, or when the bus shuts down, that you cannot get to a hospital if you have an emergency. Whereas in other parts of the city and the county, we have adequate access to health care. So again, going back to the root causes of the problems: one, a lack of a transportation system that's available to make things accessible, but two, a comprehensive plan that looks at the most underserved communities and tries to find the solutions to those particular problems. In this case, maybe a community-based healthcare clinic. The Department of Veterans Affairs has something similar to that, whereas Audie Murphy Hospital is over in the Medical Center area, but then there are community-based outpatient clinics. And I know that the county has done some stuff to partner with other agencies, but we can do more. If there's still a gap in services, then that's where we need to focus our efforts, and it goes right back to reprioritizing what we are doing and how we are spending our taxpayer dollars so that we're doing the most with what we have.
All right, and now Mario Bravo, the access to hospitals, particularly for people who depend upon public transportation.
So that's a great point that Bonnie brings up. It's absolutely a problem. And, you know, we have a structural incentive problem between Metro Health and the county health services. So Metro Health is in charge of protecting and improving our public health, right? And they are part of the city. Now, so the city funds them a lot. They also get other grants. But if Metro Health doesn't do a good job for whatever reason, if they're underfunded or mismanaged, then it doesn't affect the city in that it doesn't affect the city's budget when people get sick. When people get sick in our community, they go to the county hospital, and the county taxpayers pay for it. So the city is not penalized for not doing a good job, and the county's not really investing in Metro Health much. They're currently investing less than one half of 1% of Metro Health's budget comes from the county currently. And so what we need to do is we need to focus more on getting people healthier, investing in public health and preventative health care, and helping people meet their basic needs so that they can be healthier, so they don't have to go to the hospital as often. At the same time, we do have to make sure that people have access to clinics. If people don't, having access to a doctor only represents a very small part of whether somebody's going to be healthy or not over their lifetime. A big part of it is, do you have access to transportation? Do you have access to nutritious food? Do you have access to a good education, to a job that pays a living wage? If you don't have access to transportation, you can't go to refill your prescription. If you're not making a living wage, maybe you can pay for your copay to get your prescription, but your car breaks down the next month, and then you have to choose between fixing your car or renewing your prescription, and you know, you got to get to work, so you fix your car. Next thing you know, you don't renew your prescription, and you end up in the emergency room. And we need to be focused on preventative care and keeping people out of the emergency room. But we do need to have more access to community clinics as well.
So recently on The Source, we had a very lively program about what to do about Bandera Road between Loop 410 and 1604. TxDOT is of the mind to build a elevated, fast link between the two, and Leon Valley and people who live in that area say we'd rather have a full-service smart street boulevard. And so that runs through your district, the one that you're trying to represent. So Mario Bravo, what do you think, what would you be looking at, and how would you try to serve the needs of all your constituents in that area?
Well, we need to be working on solutions right now. My understanding is that Commissioner Elizondo has put a stop to anything moving forward at the moment. And we need to be, you know, we need to be focused on multimodal transportation, absolutely. And I would support that without a doubt.
Okay, and Gethard Rodriguez?
I really think that this comes right back to the same point that I keep making, and that's leadership. Leadership and engagement with the community. I don't think that we do enough in Bexar County to really help our small business owners. I think that we need to do everything that's possible. If the community is saying this is what they want, as their representative, it is our obligation to advocate on their behalf. I see myself as an advocate for the people that I serve, not the other way around. So it is not completely, while yes, at the ultimately it's my vote on the commissioner's court on what we do, but at the end of the day, I am supposed to be a representative of the community. I can completely understand why the community would not want what TxDOT is proposing. Obviously, it's going to hurt some of the business owners in that area, and it's not the most attractive solution either. So I would side on the I would side with the residents and what is it they want, and those business owners, because the last thing we want to do is hurt a small business that's located in that on Bandera. By basically ignoring what it is that they're asking for. It's our job to advocate on their behalf.
Okay, and I've got a short question. I don't have time for about a minute response, but let me ask you about this and get the, you're going to go first, get the Rodriguez. And so Bexar County Commissioners recently approved $350,000 in matching contribution to the San Antonio Symphony after there were some problems about the symphony's operations. Do you support that vote? Do you think that that is an adequate use for that much money?
I feel like a broken record. I really feel that it really goes back down to priorities. Of course, I support the arts. I think that it's really important for us to have, we need to support, our arts, and the symphony is a great instrument of that. However, if I have to prioritize taxpayer dollars, they're going to go to meeting our most basic needs. We don't have a modern transportation system, and we need that now. We have communities that have zero economic development, where properties have remained stagnant or have been in decline. That needs to be addressed now. We have an inadequate education system that needs to be addressed now. We have crumbling infrastructure in some of our communities that needs to be addressed now. So my priority would be to focus taxpayer dollars. That's money that is collected by the county from each of our residents. Those would be prioritized toward meeting basic needs.
So it sounds like you would be a no vote on that.
Yes, I would be.
You would have been a no vote. Okay, now Mario Bravo, how would you have voted on the $350,000 to help keep the San Antonio Symphony going?
I absolutely support the arts. I actually just had a campaign event for people in the arts community, and $350,000. You have to understand, the commissioner's budget, the commissioner's court budget, is $1.76 billion with a B dollars. So $350,000, that was a drop in the bucket right there. I think it's especially important if there's a situation where you need some, last minute rescue financing. But I also think you need to focus on the basics first. And there is so much fat that can be cut from the commissioner's court budget right now. We don't have a transparent competitive bidding process right now. I talk to business owners all the time who say they don't bid on any of the contracts from the county because they know they don't have a shot at them. There's a select group of large donors who get sweetheart deals, and because of that, we're not spending our money, our taxpayer dollars, efficiently. There's lots of extra money that could
and
be
so you applied to
meet the basics of our community.
So you would have been a yes vote.
I would be a yes vote, but I would also make sure that I find money to meet the basics in our community, the essentials, because
so,
we can't neglect that.
Now we got to wrap up with closing comments, and so each of you all get a minute to kind of close the sale here and make your pitch to listeners about why they should vote for you in the Democratic primary for Bexar County Precinct 2. And Mario Bravo, you go up first.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. I am a lifelong, proud, progressive Democrat, and I'm the only candidate in this race on record who's called for campaign contribution limits and called for term limits. I'm the only candidate on record who's been campaigning to protect our air and water quality and reduce our impact on climate change. I'm the only candidate in this race who's run on protecting the basic rights of undocumented immigrants. I'm the only candidate in this race who's on record saying that we need to end our contracts with for-profit private prisons. We should not be doing business with organizations that are interested in putting more people in prison and keeping them in there longer. Now, you don't have to live in this district, in Bexar County Precinct 2, to support me. If you want me to bring these values to our commissioner's court, you can support me by going to my Facebook page and following me and sharing my posts. Help me get my message out. Go to my website, make a contribution, sign up to volunteer. And if you do live in Precinct 2, I ask for your vote. Thank you very much.
Gethe Rodriguez, you get to close out with your last-minute pitch.
Thank you. Thank you again for having me. You know, I want to focus on one thing, and that is engaged leadership. That is what I bring. I've got 25 years of leadership experience, and what we are hearing, like I mentioned earlier, is that is what is lacking. Engaged leadership, representative leadership, remembering who we are and why we are here. I want to make very clear that, you know, the question about the arts, again, it's about prioritizing things. 350 there, 750,000 there on a project at San Pedro, on an art piece at San Pedro Creek that's not even going to someone who is from the area. It's about meeting people's basic needs and bringing the leadership and the skills and the collaborative ability to build coalitions that best encompass our values. County government is extremely important to our everyday lives, and I really would like the listeners to consider the type of person that you want representing you.
All right, and that wraps up our time for that. And Gethe Rodriguez, Mario Bravo, two challengers. Paul Elizondo defending the seat that he's occupied for 30 years, over 30 years. Bexar County, Precinct 2, and this is the Democratic primary that we're talking about. Early voting begins on February 20th, Election Day, March 6th, and then we have the general election on November the 6th. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.